It's got a death curse.
Don't bother me, be like me. And then who will help you up in the sewer?
Just like having a wart removed.
What's the boogeyman?
As a matter of fact, it was.
Come in, Betty.
Go ahead, Unit 1.
Betty, we're still waiting for Dobbs to show up with the meat wagon. You did call the funeral home, didn't you?
10-4, Unit 1.
Now, I'm going to honestly say this. I think this is the worst film we've seen during this podcast.
You weren't here for Dr. Giggles.
It's nothing. It's just those murders, you know.
Oh, my God. Yeah, the murders. That's horrible. Well, listen, honey, I've got to go.
She's teaching voodoo to the kids at school. You know, there's something fucking stupid.
Yeah, grade 2.
Oh, they're gonna cut out your heart and own you forever. It's like, ew.
Look, there's a light.
Where? Honey, I don't see any light.
I saw a light, Ronnie. I just
Honey, there's no light up there.
I saw a light.
You're being silly. There's no light there. I don't see any light.
All right, well, I didn't see anybody run across the road.
This literally should have been, like, at most, a 42-minute episode of some TV show.
Yeah.
But you could feel every single fucking minute that padded this movie.
Yep.
I'm so glad to see that you're feeling better. You had a very close call. But you're gonna be all right.
How do they operate an entire hospital? Everyone in the hospital's dead? Is
the
a zombie?
He is the circle jerk.
Do you know what is really obscene? Look at this. Look at the work I've done. This is an art. And I am the artist.
This is the movie that killed Jack Albertson.
You bring me a body that smells like burnt steak. You force me to keep it till it begins to rot. And then you have the nerve to tell me that I make you sick.
Two murders, Dobbs. Two murders in a town no bigger than a postage stamp.
Finally, a shitty film. Shitty film show.
Yeah, right? But we can't call it that because our fans requested it. Now what do we do?
The hell is going on in this town? A kettle-o-maniac is loose out there. First murderers, now body snatching. God, I can't believe it.
To be honest, I've probably seen this a couple of times since the early 80s.
You son of a bitch!
You poor
You absolute ass! Yeah. You incorrigible ass!
Here we go. This is Cash Wampum welcoming you back to another Horror 101 show, and episode 74 is going to be off the rails.
And now for something completely different.
Remember that full-on hater show we were hinting about? Inadvertently, this turned out to be one of those. We recently received a message from a listener, I won't mention who right now, but we'll get to them later, and they suggested to try Dead and Buried, directed by Gary Sherman, 1981. I remember seeing it a long time ago. I remember something about people being reanimated and killing off the living. It had a creepy poster. So yeah, when I read this, I was feeling nostalgic. I wanted to get back to some of those gritty early 80s films, and this could be a good way to start that route. So I got the crew together and let them know we were going to cover this 80s gem that not many people give much attention to, and that we were going to own it. And oh, brothers and sisters, we owned it all right. But not in the way you're accustomed to, that's for sure. Hold on to your shit mittens, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight it's the world-famous Brian Stewart, the cult sensation Nick McPherson, the nefarious Paul B., and myself. My wife, the lovely Nude, was involved in a car accident 2 days prior to this recording. Her car was totaled, but don't worry, she's gonna be fine. She was a little banged up and asked to rest and sit this one out, so if you find you missed her this show, give her some love on our Facebook page.
And let's mention that we do have a Patreon account now.
Woo!
We did open a Patreon account so our listeners can help us out.
Not stripping for money.
Okay.
Again.
On radio? Again?
Well, you had to pay for school somehow.
School? Oh my God. So we're on like patreon.com/horror101 or something like that, so our listeners can help us out and they can
help subsidize our Rye budget.
That's right.
That's it.
That's right. And our hosting. Because I had that hosting snafu. I don't know what was going on with Podomatic, but I turn around and all of a sudden they're like, oh, instead of being Pro Plus, I was Basic. And they're like, yeah, we're going to start deleting your shit in 30 days. I'm like, what? Because all the money was coming out of my PayPal account, no problem. And all of a sudden it was like, oh, it failed. I'm like, well, what the fuck's going on? So I had to re-register and bump it back up to Pro Plus and all that shit. So everything is good now, but hosting is getting a little bit expensive. So hopefully some of our subscribers... We already got two. I put the link out.
Patrons.
And we got two listeners. Thank you very much. I won't mention who they are, but...
You know what? Yes, I will. We received a pledge from our friend Scott Owens. Thank you very much, Scott. It's much appreciated. We're glad you like the show, and we hope you keep listening. And another rather generous pledge, get this, all the way from the city of Tallinn, the capital of Estonia, situated in northern Europe off the coast of the Gulf of Finland, is our good friend Karina. When I figured out that we had a fan in Estonia, I had to check out the country, and I came across this great picture of their Tumpea Castle, which has this huge tower called the Pick Herman. So I asked Karina for a picture of her in front of that tower, and she delighted me by replying with just that, which was super cool. Thank you very much for the pledge, Karina. We're always thrilled to find fans from across the Atlantic. And if you would like to help out the Horror 101 podcast, you can find us at patreon.com/horror101.
I need help brainstorming on what we could logistically do for our listeners.
Right.
You know, like, can we do something now while we're recording? Do we send them something?
No, we do. If we can get $1,000, Paul Butterworth will review Clouds from Outer Space.
Nobody in their fucking right mind is going to give us a grand.
All
right, fine. I tell you right now, like, anybody honestly donated $1,000 to hear me review fucking Killer Cons,
no, like,
I would do it.
I'm saying in total. We get that much total donations from like 200 different people.
And but this is what, like, this bucks. Is a pledge. This isn't a one-time shot. Yeah. Like, they say, okay, every month we're giving you this money.
Keeps going.
So if somebody pledges like $5 or $10 a month or something like that, then, I mean...
It's coffee money for a lot of people, and if they enjoy the product, because I use Patreon. There's a couple people that I support at $5, $10 here a month.
Yeah.
You know, if it's something that I like and I want them to keep doing what I like, then you gotta pay them, right?
Okay, for tonight, there was one of our listeners, a guy named J.C. Kang. It was J.C. Kang. He mentioned, he's like, I have a little love for this 80s gem called Dead and Buried. I'm like, holy fuck, I haven't seen that movie in 20 years. Paul B., you might have seen this one.
I have seen it. I don't, like I said to you the other day, I don't remember it at all.
Yes.
I do remember the poster. And this goes back to what we talked about many times. Artwork back in the 80s was fucking amazing.
Yes.
Whereas now it is all shit.
And the artwork, if you look at the original poster for Dead and Buried, it looks just like a half a face kind of sticking out of a desert.
Yep.
And it reminds me very much of the Evil Dead poster.
Yes.
Where the kind of ground and the...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The almost alien backdrop. Just barren land and just the something coming out of it. It's got Stan Winston effects. Same guy that did the Terminator. Yeah. Like, Stan Winston was another...
And Jurassic Park.
Stan Winston was... He was up there with Savini, but where they called Savini for gore, they called Stan Winston in for accuracy.
Well,
accurate creature effects.
First of all, Stan Winston's mentor was actually Willis O'Brien, and anyone who knows that name, he goes back to the Golden Age. Only Willis O'Brien was the guy who did the special effects for King Kong. So
in the 30s?
Yep, that's the guy. And he was the one that taught Stan Winston when Stan Winston went to film school. So you can't get much more of a Hollywood pedigree than that. I mean, that's huge.
And all those guys always point to Dick Smith as being the best in the business. Back when they were doing everything practical, Dick Smith was the guy. Okay, well, let's do Dead and Buried and see what you guys think. I'm interested.
Hello, angry-looking cat.
Tot und begraben. Ein Film in einer neuen Dimension.
Willkommen in Potter's Bluff.
Oh, there's the problem. I got my trailer set to German again.
Was geht nur vor in dieser verfluchten Stadt? Irgendein Wahnsinniger muss hier frei herumlaufen. Erst zwei Morde und jetzt werden Leichen gestohlen. Mein Gott, ich kann's nicht glauben.
From the creators of Alien, terror brought down to earth.
Oh my God, they're coming!
Fear so intense, it will stay with you to the grave. and beyond. Welcome to Potter's Bluff.
Dan, I'm dead. Please bury me.
Dead and Buried. The movie you'll want to see. If you dare to look.
Bury me.
Dead and Buried.
Oh, this is not going to go well.
Phantasm of Oblivion was fucking trash. Terrible, terrible, terrible. I would watch that 100 times before watching this. This movie was fucking awful.
Yes, give me all of it. Give me everything.
This movie was fucking abysmal. The acting. Hatred. You know, the writing, the directing, the motive. The whole thing is a fucking shit show. The music. It was like a Scooby-Doo episode with gore.
It's a Mystery Science Theater episode waiting to happen this one.
Oh, God.
No, it pisses me off more than anything else that it took me as long as it did for me to fucking clue into it. It was like I was trying to find some... You know, I'm like, no, I'm not going to be that guy. I'm going to find a thing. I'm gonna find a saving grace for it, and then it just suddenly dawned on me. I'm like,
but even that.
But there is none!
Who directed this? Because you wasted my fucking time.
The same jerk-off who directed Poltergeist 3.
No.
You know what? And I said, in the first 5 minutes, didn't I say, in the credits, did they have to show an editor? Because that walk of his across the beach was the longest shot of the whole movie. It took him 3 minutes to get to the water. Why are we watching him walk to the beach? Why can't we just jump cut him to the beach taking pictures? We had to watch the whole walk.
I only have to say this. Congratulations, Gary fucking Sherman. Bravo. You've now wasted 3 hours of my fucking life.
What? What?
Because I watched Poltergeist 3 as well.
Hey, there's someone to smile, baby.
What are you doing to me now?
The first scene with the guy on the beach was
with Lisa Blount titties.
Yes. Which, okay.
Looking about as good as you can in mom jeans.
Right, but that part was, that to me, that was not her titties, obviously, but that scene was the only scene that was actually handled well, where he's up against that fishnet screaming.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can actually feel his terror.
Oh, yeah.
And from there, everything just goes downhill. Like, the acting is like, daytime soap opera bad.
A lot of it is, yeah.
The pacing is so, like, it's so ridiculous.
Yeah, like, there's a half an hour of fat in this movie, at least.
Welcome to Potter's Bluff.
Like you're saying, that opening scene where he's caught in the netting, the way the netting misshapes his face, and because he was plugged over there with a shovel, he's not all there, right? And so it's pitiable. It reminds me of that poor fucking station manager from Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2, who gets clubbed over the head, and you know he's kind of brain dead now, but he's still alive and fucking suffering.
And he's been flayed.
Oh, fucking horrible.
But that happens in the first 5 minutes, and we have like another, 35 years later.
It almost had, it had like a Wicker Man feel to it. Like a strange town of Pinocchio.
Bees.
And I thought if it had continued with that same kind of tone the whole way through, it would have been great, but it was really paced oddly.
Go ahead, Unit 1.
Betty, we're still waiting for Dobb to show with the meat wagon. You did call the funeral home, didn't you?
10-4, Unit 1. I reached the funeral home half an hour ago. Mr. Dobbs said he'd come out just as soon as he could.
Well, you better try him again. Tell him to hurry it up.
Unit 1 clear?
Yes, Betty. Unit 1 clear.
I had hope up until the scene where the guy gets burned on the beach, and then they use it in the car.
Yeah.
And I thought that was going to be cool. Like, they're going to be killing these people in certain ways and then making it look like they died in an accident or whatever it was. But nothing else gets done with that. It just... Right downhill.
Well, Mr. Dobbs, this is our official coroner mortician. What would you say the cause of death was?
So we get the guy at the beginning meeting Lisa Blount. She offers him sex. He gets killed.
Yeah.
They find him in the truck, overturned. It's in a fiery ball. He's still alive. And then 5 minutes later, the fucking bitch that light the match on the guy... is the chick at the diner. See, so we know something's up immediately.
I'm arguing you on this 5 minutes later, because I felt like fucking 5 years later.
Hey, Midge, how about that coffee?
Coming right up.
Hospital find out about this fella yet? Give you any idea when he might come to?
They're not sure he will.
My God, it's just awful. It's just terrible. You got enough cream there, Dan?
My favorite was the completely over-the-top sound cue. It was almost like, you know, where they
the waitress?
Face somebody mm-hmm. who was there.
Yeah. But her hair was done differently, so they had to alert
her. Well, that's what I said, yeah. It's like, you know, guys are bad at picking out hairstyles, so they might
not know it was right. her. Oh, it is her. Oh, she got the same haircut, so now we know for sure.
What would have been more obvious is if it did a sudden pan in on the face, the screen went red, and it started playing the siren thing from fucking Kill Bill.
Right.
Smile.
Because the guy who was harpooned to death, they didn't really hide his body in any way. He was just found there dead, slashed to pieces.
Right.
It wasn't an accident. This would have been a great X-Files episode. As a one-shot X-Files done seriously, I would have loved it.
Like I said, the story, like the idea behind it, was solid. You know, even some of the suspense elements, if handled better, would have worked. It was really ham-fisted and kludgy.
You find all this obscene, Sheriff? Do you know what is really obscene? Look at this. Look at the work I've done. This is an art, and I am the artist. What can you remember about a sealed box? A sealed casket? That is obscene. That is the death of memory.
Well, who's the old guy's name again?
Jack Albertson.
When this film... Well, he's poised to strike. When this film... When they had it in the theater in 81, they wheeled this motherfucker out in a wheelchair and oxygen to watch it, and then he was dead within 30 days. He was gone.
They're making him do a lot of shit in this movie, too. We were talking about that, too, while you were gone. They made him crouch down, crawl around, get down on all fours. I'm like, this guy's in his 90s. Really? I mean, I think this movie killed him.
Probably did. It was probably... He's like, oh, my God, what have I done? Gone!
You know, Dob, sometimes you make me sick.
Sick? You bring me a body that smells like burnt steak. You force me to keep it till it begins to rot, and then you have the nerve to tell me that I make you sick!
Two murders, Dobbs! Both strangers. Two murders in a town no bigger than a postage stamp. Now you leave me the hell alone.
But here's the thing. We know who the killers are. The only mystery is we don't know why they're doing it, and there isn't much police investigation going on.
Because there's only one guy.
Yeah.
Figuring shit out.
Still, there's with so few elements without any mystery.
Okay. Then at what point did you know what the fuck was going on?
Well, that really cheesy twitching arm effect when the arm was caught in the grill of his truck.
Right.
At some point, I thought it was just a band of murdering assholes. We don't know. It could be a bunch of hicks looking at Deliverance. We don't know. People don't need a motive just to kill strangers. They could be xenophobes.
Look at Eden Lake. That was the last film you guys watched.
There was reasons for that.
You don't need a motive. It just is. Strangers.
Yeah.
Ben, have you recently had anybody check out without paying or just disappear?
No. Now, wait a minute. There was a guy checked in here yesterday. Said he's going to be here a couple of days.
Oh, now that you mention it, there was one guy, in fact, the only guy staying here.
Probably the only guy staying at the hotel. Right? So why the fuck does the town have a hotel to begin with? But okay, he doesn't remember the one guy who's checked into the hotel?
It took him a second, yes.
Jesus Christ.
For Christ's sakes.
What?
Ask your wife. I just remembered the maid, Edna Jo. She says your wife dropped over yesterday to see him.
When he talks to the innkeeper about the guy that was staying there, it's like, oh, ask your wife. Oh, shit, I've said too much. And it's like, oh, what's with the wife?
And then does it again.
And it's like... No, don't give her a pass. No, she's in on it. No, she's the queen bee of she's in on it. You know, it's like, oh, fuck.
Your wife knows
it. Well, thanks for giving us everything right at the beginning kind of deal. Like,
Dan, what happened? You look so down.
It's nothing. It's just those murders, you know.
Oh, my God. Yeah, the murders. It's horrible. Well, listen, honey, I've got to go.
There aren't enough elements to make this a 90-minute satisfying film. Because, like I said, we already know who the killers are. We just don't know why they're doing it.
We just don't know their fucking names.
But the only real clue we ever get as to why they're doing it is that stupid-ass book on witchcraft he finds in his wife's dresser drawer.
Yeah.
And that's the only clue we get. The clue is, that's it. One clue. And the pieces fall into place. And it's so obvious that it's... I don't know. There's nothing there.
What the hell are you doing with these?
For my class, I'm going to give a lecture in witchcraft.
Witchcraft? And why in God's name would you want to teach him that?
Kids love creepy things.
The
she's teaching voodoo to the kids at school. You know, there's something fucking stupid.
Yeah, grade two.
Oh, they're going to cut out your heart and own you forever. And it's like, ew.
Yeah.
They told me downstairs he pulled out of a coma. How's he doing?
It's touch and go.
Doc, is there any chance I can talk to him? Even briefly. Just
Dan,
for a moment.
Afraid.
Let's go inside.
I can't get past those two goddamn couches, though. In what hospital do you see a major hospital hallway where it's like 2.5 feet wide and there's two shitty-ass Holiday Inn couches?
1981.
Hello, Freddy. Hi. I'm so glad to see that you're feeling better. You had a very close call.
When she comes in as the nurse and she calls him by the name that she gave him.
Okay.
Because obviously he wasn't Freddy.
No.
Only she called him Freddy. So he's sitting there. He was just sedated, burned beyond recognition, all fucked up. He's alone in a room. Somebody walks in. It's like, hey, Freddy. It's like, oh, fuck. I know exactly who that is. And just the panic.
Yeah.
As he recognizes that now he's in the room with the girl that fucking set him up.
He can't call for help. He can't move.
There was a certain level of dread in that that I appreciated. I thought that was done well.
I'm going to give you something. It's going to make you feel even better.
And then the payoff with the eye trauma for nefarious Paul B. Yeah.
But it wasn't even really trauma. It was just kind of like,
yeah, take that.
How do they operate an entire hospital? Everyone in the hospital's dead? Is
the
a zombie?
He is the circle jerk.
Why'd you swerve the car like that, Ron?
Somebody ran in front of the car, that's
Jimmy,
why.
Jimmy, all right?
Here, son, come on up with Mommy and Daddy. That's a boy. There you are.
Look, there's a light.
Where? Honey, I don't see any light.
I saw a light, Ronnie. I just
Honey,
saw
there's
it
no light up there.
I saw a light.
You're being silly. There's no light there. I don't see any light.
All right, well, I didn't see anybody run across the road.
Oh, okay, honey. We'll have a look.
Oh, those two were fucking terrible.
The acting of the mom and dad there was just... It
was awful.
There was no direction there.
Maybe we get a cold compress for this house that's overrun with cobwebs.
Can we get ice or a cold compress in this house where the lights aren't fucking working and the doors are all boarded up? Yeah, of course. We're going to find that.
There's 12 years of cobwebs all over everything.
Jesus Christ.
What's the matter?
Oh, you scared me, Ronnie.
There's nobody in the basement.
Oh,
now, come
God.
On, let's get out of here, all right?
Welcome to Potter's Bluff.
What's going on?
Give me
here?
The boy, run!
I'm going to honestly say this, I think this is the worst film we've seen in this podcast.
You weren't here for Dr. Giggles.
No, you're right, but still, I'm saying what I said. What I say.
Hey, you sure you want to ride with me? Now, how do you know I'm not a dirty old man?
They call me Chance. How far are you going?
Oh, I'm going up here to Potter's Bluff. Well, I have to stop at my place up the road piece here. Hey, you want to come on up with me to Potter's Bluff? It's a real nice little town. You ever been up there?
Never heard of it before.
Oh, well, come on in out of the rain, honey. There we go.
What the fuck was that? Yeah,
like the old man.
The guy even says, are you going to come with me? I might be a dirty old man. But hop right in here. Why not?
It's like, worst decision ever. You'll pay for that in 30 seconds.
If that old man was a Pokemon, his name would be Rapist, and the only thing he has to say is Rapist.
Yes!
Rapist. How could anyone mar such loveliness? My dear, I will make you beautiful again. Even more beautiful than before.
You know what the most fascinating shot of this movie was for me? Was watching that woman who had her face smashed in with the rock, watching his reconstruction.
But even that was handled so poorly, because when you see her laid out, you can see her breathing.
Well, no, that's after the fact.
I know, but...
leading up to it. Yes, they ruined it. Yes, they ruined everything in this movie, but at least that was interesting.
That actually... The
where he's cutting away the flesh and stripping down the rebuilding.
It was obviously reverse photography, but the way they did that, that was cool. Rebuilding the...
I really like that.
But it's fucked up again, because you can see her fucking breathing.
Breathing like some stupid extra on like an episode of Law and Order.
But in your professional opinion, is there any way whatsoever to reanimate people after they have died? To get them to walk around.
Oh, you have been working too hard.
I'm not joking.
My God, you're serious.
I think the good sheriff is starting to clue in.
Doesn't anybody look up people's credentials? Because the telex said he was all fucking stupid as of 69, so he moves here a year later. Yeah, we need an embalmer. We need a mortician, sure. Who are you? Oh, just some guy that wasn't a Nazi. To be honest, I'm surprised they didn't throw that in there, because it would have been the perfect time.
And let's make him a Nazi, and we'll have a dog with shifty eyes.
Spoiler alert, friends. The town embalmer, Mr. Dobbs, has been busy bringing the dead back to life. How? Who knows? Why? Who cares? Apparently, by the end of the film, the entire town of Potter's Bluff are his personal zombies, and he apparently has to touch up their undead makeup every day or two, or they'll fall apart, and that wouldn't be too conspicuous, would it? So how the fuck does one old man have enough time to masterfully embalm a bunch of really fucked up corpses and keep having them come back for tune-ups without anybody noticing? Ever? Fuck this movie! Fuck that sheriff's wife, too!
Hello, baby. How was your day? You wouldn't believe mine.
The dead have no memory except what I give them. She only appears alive. She's dead, then.
The part at the end when he's confronting the coroner and his wife comes and he's horribly overacting and screaming and sobbing, because that was the sound that my soul was making as I was watching this movie.
You can have whatever you want for dinner.
That was my favorite scene, because that is...
That's how I felt.
That was my cathartic moment for this film.
Baby, please die. She's dead.
Also, you have pork chops.
Ah!
Or beef stroganoff, the last of which I must avoid.
Please!
It's out of the pack. Dan, I'm dead. Please bury me.
But at the same time, the entire movie is essentially pointless.
Yes.
Because the guy investigating the thing, like, why did he even have him go through the whole
motions.
Yeah. The whole thing? It's just,
if he's already one of them, what's the point?
It's basically one giant circle jerk through the whole movie.
Yes.
And the thing is, we didn't even get the payoff. How did you do it? I'll take my secret to the grave. Okay,
right.
Fuck you.
He's
going
to take his secret to the grave, so what the fuck is the point?
But then he wants to be undead.
Exactly. So what the fuck's the point?
Ah, circle jerk!
Call it black magic. Call it a medical breakthrough. I'll take my secret to the grave. You evil son of a bitch. You will try to kill me, Dad. But you can't. You can only make me dead. Go on. Pull the trigger. Help me to become one of my own children.
Why does the coroner allow the cop to shoot him at the end?
Because he wants to die so he can become a zombie monster.
I get that's what they say in the movie.
But at the same time,
but why doesn't he do that himself?
Exactly. I know. It's pointless. It's a circle jerk. This movie serves no purpose. This movie serves no fucking purpose.
This might actually work.
This movie is a black hole of joy.
He wants to take his secret to the grave, which will last forever.
Black hole of joy.
There's one more thing you should know, Dan. Come, Dan. Let me fix those for you.
And this just goes to prove our point that just because it's horror doesn't mean it's we're going to fucking prop it up. You know what I mean? Okay, early 80s. We're all about it, right? Here's 81 horror. Tons of fucking great movies coming out of this era. Here's one that was suggested to us. I remember seeing it. You don't remember seeing it. You guys have never seen it. We watch it.
I blame all of you fuckers that have seen this and didn't say
it. It's a steaming pile of shit. Okay.
You blame me for forgetting it?
Okay, quiet.
Yes.
What was the name of the individual that told us to watch this?
J.C. Kang. It is spelled C-A-N-G.
Okay.
He's a friend of ours. He likes us. Be nice.
I am.
Be nice.
Heartfelt words for Mr. J.C. Kang. This is called Sensation here, and I only have one question for you. Who hurt you?
This movie.
Why? Why are you making us hurt now, too?
He posted, he's like, what about this 80s gem?
This 80s gem.
Was he being ironic? Was he being like...
You know what? Maybe the joke's on us. We'll know. After the show is out, maybe the joke is on us.
No, please. I think the show's going to come out. We're going to watch the Facebook counter go dink down one.
J.C. Kang, he'll be ripping his... He'll be doing the Scooby-Doo. Ha-ha! I'm not J.C. Kang. I'm really Mrs. Struthers.
In all seriousness, I really hope that he posts as to why he enjoyed this film.
Yes.
Because I would like to know what somebody can see in this that's enjoyable.
My soul hurts.
The cult sensation, he just can't get off it. He can't get off it.
I'm lost.
Well, you're in Potter's Bluff. Where did you want to be?
Robert Englund, pre-Fred Krueger, didn't even get a credit at the beginning of the film.
Good. Which means he can hide it on his fucking resume. I wasn't in that movie.
There was the actor who played Maurice Minifield in Northern Exposure. Was one of the town people.
There was a lot of faces that they recognized in this
before
film.
They made it big in other shows. Yeah.
The guy Aaron
from 24.
At least they could say that they were in a movie.
Now, boys, don't be riding Danny here too hard. He's apt to leave this town. We're lucky to have him.
In a 1983 interview with Starburst magazine promoting Blue Thunder, O'Bannon disowned the film, claiming that Shushit had actually written it by himself but needed O'Bannon's name on the project, promising he would implement some of O'Bannon's changes. Upon seeing the finished film, Dan O'Bannon realized that Shushit hadn't included his material, but it was too late for him to take his name off the credits. I don't fucking blame him, though. Fuck.
I would like to know what he wanted to do to make this a better movie, because I'd like to know what they...
He's dead! You can't ask him!
I'd like to know why... He's gone. I'd like to know why the guy who actually wrote it didn't include any of Dan O'Bannon's ideas.
Is it possible the guy we fished out of the wreck could have been burned somewhere else and placed in the car to make it seem like an accident?
Score it, Neek!
I'm gonna give it a zero.
Zero? Oh, yeah. There's nothing ridiculous. Come on.
All right, fine. I'll give it a one because it had some reasonable special effects at certain points in the movie.
Don't rub it in. Tell you. Stop making it these days.
And let's move on to the nefarious Paul B.
Give it a zero.
Bobby. I'm going to match Nick's one and say that there were literally two scenes in the entire film I enjoyed.
Two.
Which were the opening scene on the beach, not just because of the boobs, and the rebuilding of the body towards the end.
Yes.
Yeah. Beyond that...
Nothing redeemable.
Honestly, nothing. I could honestly say this is probably one of the worst, any genre, worst films I've ever seen.
That bad?
That bad.
Now, let's not get all pushy and policemen like that. This is very embarrassing for me.
Brian Stewart?
I actually picked my number ahead of time, so I'm going to come across as really generous because I was going to give it a 3, which is apparently an embarrassment of riches for this fucking film. But I'm going to say because there are at least 3 or 4 things in there that taken out of... If you strip away the 90 or 89 minutes of uselessness that this movie has in the padding, there's about 3 or 4 really good shots and moments that if I were to extract them and put them into a better movie, I would... think they deserved it, but and you know what, maybe I'll just give all 3 points to Jack Albertson because fuck it, I like him and he's one of my favorite character actors, and at least it gave him something to do the month before he died.
The hell is going on in this town? A kind of maniac is loose up there. First murder is now body snatching. Gotta can't believe it.
I think I'll match the 3. I remember...
You should have fucking known better.
I remember being maybe 7 or 8 years old watching this and the guy in the van upside down, burnt up beyond rubber, when they go to touch him and he starts screaming, it freaked me out. It really did freak me out. And it started on a promising note, and then there was just a steep decline that lasted about 85 minutes after that, and it's unfortunate. It really is unfortunate. And it seems like something that looked really good on paper, but on celluloid it just falls flat, doesn't work. It's forgettable, and to be honest, I've probably seen this a couple of times since the early 80s.
You son of a bitch!
You poor
you absolute ass! Yeah. You incorrigible ass!
Cash.
I'll push you.
Who hurt you?
Discussion is terminated as far as I am
concerned.
And folks, that's the end of the episode. Hope you enjoyed us flaying Dead and Buried Alive, poor film. Directed by Gary Sherman, starring James Ferrantino, Melody Anderson, and the late, great Jack Albertson. You can also find a very young Robert Englund in there, and the lovely Lisa Blount from Prince of Darkness. She's been dead 8 years. I was very surprised to read that. That's a shame. Thanks again to our Patreon pledgers. We appreciate your support. And if you want to help keep the Horror 101 show alive, shoot on over to patreon.com/horror101 and drop a pledge. Our current goal is $30 a month to cover hosting. If we're lucky enough to surpass that, then we can start handing out gifts or swag or something to relay favor to our supporters. That would be sweet. For the world-famous Brian Stewart, the cult sensation Nick McPherson, the nefarious Paul B., this is Cash Wampum saying thanks for listening and reminding you that there's a horror movie out there that's just going to scare the hell out of you. And we're going to help you find it. Right here at Horror 101, educating your fears.
You're a mean one, Mr. Kang. You made us watch this film.